Welcome to Talent Trailblazers. We bring you the industry leaders and visionaries who have mastered the art of finding and keeping talent, developing them, retaining them, and we're going to explore the strategies that will help fuel your talent management success. Whether you're an HR professional, business executive, or nonprofit leader, this podcast will hopefully become your go-to resource for cracking that mysterious talent code. I'm your host, Larry Gottlieb, with the Business Council of Westchester. I run the Talent Attraction Initiative. BCW is the county's largest business membership organization focusing on economic development and advocacy. They've got amazing, 1,100 members, and we help our members achieve profitability and prosperity for their benefit and for the benefit of the greater Westchester County community. To learn more about the Business Council of Westchester, please go to thebcw.org. That's thebcw.org. Talent drives growth here in Westchester, and we certainly produce a lot of talent within our border, but shaping that talent, molding that clay, is often in the hands of the county's exceptional local colleges and universities. With us today are two master sculptors, Brian M. Crowd, Vice President and General Manager for Workforce Credentialing and Community Impact at Mercy University, and Sean O'Reilly, Vice President of Professional Education, Interdisciplinary and Special Programs for Pace University. That is a mouthful. Today's discussion is about micro-credentials, a growing part of every college and university's academic offerings, especially for individuals looking to fill in knowledge gaps within their own industry or learn a completely new skill. And that can be acquired online or in person, could be a training program, license, or special certification. But I'd rather have my experts, and I'm sure you feel the same way, you'd rather have them explain and define, because they're the ones that have to deliver these programs. So welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Thanks so much, Larry, for having us.
Thanks, Larry.
So to kick things off, let's define micro-credentials for our listeners. How would you describe micro-credentials, and what sets them apart from traditional degree programs?
So there's no single standard definition. We're in still a bit of the Wild West in terms of what the term micro-credential means. From my vantage point, I would say it's a validation of skills or knowledge that relates to a specific area of industry. The major differentiator between most micro-credentials out there and academic degree programs are twofold. One, they do not require academic credit and don't require the same oversight, actually, from the state and other bodies. But more importantly, they're driven directly by market need, by the input that we're hearing from employers in the area or nationally, and often, as you said, are trying to add an additional skill set or knowledge base that is typically overlooked in a traditional undergraduate degree offering. That can tie to technology or any other new development. Sean, obviously, I'll let you add a few words.
Yeah, I think you've summarized it well. I mean, I think the thing that's really important to understand about them from the industry side is that they're flexible, nimble. Speed to market is much faster than a traditional degree program in terms of just getting it off the ground and launching it. And it's very much in response to industry and job-related needs that are happening. I mean, the world is just changing very fast. And, 2 years ago, AI was something that people were talking about kind of esoterically, and now suddenly everybody in the world wants to know all about it. So those are just typical of what we try to do with micro-credentials is to bring those skill sets and needs quickly to market through a credential that's small, flexible, and easy to put up.
So let's thank you both for that definition. It's, it's interesting area to me because I think initially years ago it was a little bit of a Wild West. Anybody could kind of put out their shingle and say, hey, I've got a program and here's a boot camp or certification. Now, I think given your respective universities and the weight behind it certainly gives a lot of credence to it and a high level of professionalism to it. But I want to get a sense of, you know, in this changing job market, which you talked about and you both mentioned, I mean, what ultimately are the key benefits that people are looking for when considering going through one of your respective programs?
You know, I think that the best thing about micro-credentials, and at Pace we call them badges, is that they can be highly specialized or tailored to an individual's need. So we offer a range, I think, around 60 badges. And people can kind of pick and choose a specific skill set or competency that they're trying to learn and have it be very tailored versus a degree program where you're learning really a comprehensive set of skills or knowledge and theory that is much broader. Tech is a great example of a field where it's very appropriate for these micro-credentials because programming languages change all the time, new technologies emerge constantly, and people want to stay current in the field without having to go back to school and do a full master's degree. And so it's a great way to pick up that skill and knowledge quickly without having to commit the time and money and effort to you know, a much larger degree program.
Yeah. So before I go to you, Brian, I just want to kind of dig a little deeper on this, Sean. One thing I'm curious about is it the students, the workforce that's changed in terms of their expectations, or is it the college, university, the academic provider that's changing and saying, look, I'm changing the way I'm delivering my product, therefore, here's how I'm going to deliver it versus what the market is saying?
I think it's both. I think we've kind of met halfway, and I think especially working adults are much more interested in how does this benefit me? What's the ROI on my time, effort, and energy and money spent on something? And increasingly, because there are a million different ways for you can to gain knowledge, you can go on YouTube and watch a video. There's a million different ways. People are trying to figure out, well, what is something that adds value to my career but has a backing or you know, a brand behind it that people would trust? And I think that's the big challenge in the micro-credential market is you can get credentials from a million different places, but what's the kind of perceived value of those credentials? And so at Pace, our idea was we are knowledge transfer experts. We have faculty who are doing research and we've been developing degree programs for decades. We have the ability to create knowledge and transfer that to students, and why not do that in every possible form that we can? And so the idea that to unbundle a lot of our degree programs into these smaller credentials that are much more accessible just seemed natural to us. For us, the badging program came out of the pandemic, and when a lot of people were laid off, we said, well, how do we respond to this quickly, where people maybe are worried about financing and money and wouldn't want to commit to a full degree program? Can we create something that's more affordable and timely for them? And that's been the real market for us. And the types of people that are looking for that experience and credential are those folks, the working professionals really trying to find something to hit the spot and be very timely for their career.
Okay. Brian, same question.
Yeah, I'd throw in some more macro level changes in terms of the labor market and also people living longer, switching careers more often. And this is not new data. I mean, this goes back at least 10 years at this point where we started to see that typical model, whether you came out with a high school degree or a college degree, of going to work in one field for one company for 30, 40 years, then you retire with your nice party and go on Social Security and everything's fine. The economics of that don't work out anymore for all sorts of reasons. And then you sort of throw in maybe the Gen Z millennial twist on this, where even if the economics did work out, you know, in terms of work-life balance and job satisfaction and things that people are looking for, that type of flexibility, even before we got into the format of the micro-credential, you could say we're looking at a market for higher education or post-secondary education that's looking for more flexibility. And then you tie in, well, also, what is the labor market looking for? The labor market is looking for people, in addition to the broad base of knowledge and problem solving and critical thinking, that also has specific skill sets that are changing all the time. So I think it's that combination of factors. And the pace of change, obviously, you know, nobody would have predicted what we're seeing. You know, when you talk about the interest that people are showing in AI, for example, arguably it's not an interest, you know, as we move forward. It's a demand. Like, if you can't give people practical knowledge and how to apply AI in whatever occupation they're entering, they're going to be behind the curve. So the other piece of the puzzle, I would argue, is, you know, we're in a major inflection point in terms of higher education. If you look in our region, there's been all sorts of changes in the last 5 years. COVID has accelerated things in terms of forcing us on the college university side of things to reassess what it means to be in relationship with the labor market. We're in an era of very low unemployment, great for the region. But what does that mean for talent development and retention when it's hard to recruit new people off the street? And I think these are opportunities for us. And you know, whatever language we use, badging, micro-credentialing, it's finding ways, I would argue, to shift how we operate as post-secondary institutions with respect to the students that we serve of all ages and backgrounds and to the labor market that's very broad as well. And, you know, the greater flexibility that we have in place, the more responsive we can be to those shifts in the marketplace, I think will only put us in a better position moving forward.
Which to me is in some ways at the core of this whole discussion, or the kind of the broader brush of it, which is, and this is what I find interesting about what the two of you do for a living, is that within an institution, two institutions that have been around for many, many, many years and have had a certain way of operating, you've created like an accelerator and incubator space within that college university environment in which to experiment and kind of rapidly shift. Is that an accurate portrayal, or is there some, you know, is there some back and forth in terms of, I can see a French literature professor saying, you know, he or she saying, well, this is not, you know, this is, you really need to get 4 or 6 years to really understand X, Y, Z. And the market's saying, well, you know what, I don't have 4 or 6 years. You know, I already have my undergrad or even graduate degree or maybe even a PhD. And that individual's saying, yeah, but I think that I need a good 6 months in this because I'm just adding to like a plug and play what I already have as a base of knowledge. So is that a correct portrayal in terms of the give and take within the academic environment?
Yeah, in some respects. There's a real tension, I think, inside the institutions about trying to be as nimble as you can to be responsive to the market. And the reality of higher education, which was built on a different principle, that you're shaping an educational program for folks that lasts many years, that has been given a lot of thought, really, as to what those many building blocks are to the degree piece of the program. I think, again, the opportunity for the work that Sean and I are doing, other people out there as well, is not saying we're going to throw out the entirety of that degree structure. It's how can you be more adaptive? How can you, in addition to providing micro-credentials for people who are not full-time in the institution, also make some of these credentials available to your traditional students so that then when they come out of our degree programs, they're much more prepared for the labor market? And I just think that's a reality for schools like ours. As idealistic as we might like to be in terms of what higher education should look like, the reality is our students need to be employable, you know, as soon as they finish, if not beforehand. And I would make the case that the sooner we can start providing some of these skill-based certifications, badges to our students need to work anyway. So they can get jobs that align with the careers they're looking for while they're in school. It's much harder to do if you're following a traditional curriculum that says, well, you need to do, you know, your first 2 years are laid out and they haven't changed in 400 years. So like I'm trying to be arguably a force for change on the inside. But at the same time, like I like the language of being an incubator for change and for new ideas.
No. Sean?
Yeah, look, higher ed has been accused of being the giant ship that's very hard to turn around. There's a lot of credence to that in a lot of ways. I think it's been a conversation with the faculty and the chairs and the deans often about the idea that this market is changing and we have to change with it and just thinking differently about the way they approach their curriculum. One of the things Brian was mentioning that made me think of a market that we didn't kind of anticipate when we launched this program was our internal students, especially undergrads. And we've had a big uptick in students doing, existing degree-seeking undergrad students doing a micro-credential badge at Pace create a career identifier so when they go for an internship or they go to grad school or they're trying to get a summer job, they have a way of calling out a specific experience on their resume that sets them apart. And it's all about finding a job or finding that great, you know, co-curricular experience for them. And that's been a real eye-opener for us. You know, we're now tracking it to see are students more likely to stay in school after they've taken one of these micro-credentials, one of these badges. So for us, we're starting to kind of sell the idea internally on it's not just great for us to be able to approach all these other audiences, but even internally, we may be able to retain more students who see a value of calling out specific experiences as they go through their undergraduate degree because it's helping them get a job or move up or get to a great grad school or whatever they may want to do.
Larry, yeah. If I can have one point to that, and it aligns with Sean was just saying, one of our goals, and we're actually explicit in this regard, is to create stackable pathways so that the work someone does with what might be perceived as something that's unacademic still aligns and creates an opportunity for that time and money spent to count towards a traditional academic degree. And I think we've had a lot of support from our faculty recognizing that this is in the best interest of our students.
Yeah, I always try and bring the voice of the listener into the conversation, which is, I think it's the word relevancy. The relevancy of the coursework. Is it relevant to my industry and does it reflect what's happening in my industry? Because I do understand the flip side of it, which is higher education, if I'm Mercy, if I'm Pace, and I'm putting my stamp on something and I'm saying this student has reached a level of proficiency that I say is of a professional level, well, you're putting your reputation behind that badge or that stamp or that certification. And so for the person buying the service from you, they want to make sure that what they're learning in the classroom is just in time. And I believe that the micro-credential process allows you, using that incubator analogy again, to be right where the market is today, even a little bit ahead of it, right, and get that feedback. So talk a little bit about that, working with industries to make sure that the content that you're providing is as relevant as it can be and is up to date.
Yeah, sure, I'll jump in. This is the bread and butter of what we do, is that we're in constant communication with leaders in industry in multiple verticals to find out the gaps that they're seeing in the skill set of folks who are coming, whether they're out of college or even some of their current employees. And that in addition to the seal of approval from the academic institution, and again, I would say increasingly we're moving in this direction, this is what our customer market, what our students want to know is, great, it's wonderful that you as University X have said this badge has value, but can you also, you know, qualify that by some industry leader? It's one of the reasons that I think a driving force behind the trend in this direction actually didn't come from the universities themselves. It was the emergence of Google certificates and things like that, and that they were, you know, sending the message out far and wide. do this certification and you can get a job equivalent to, you know, a four-year computer science degree. That's generally not true, to be honest, that there's a difference in terms of the employability, but you can certainly get the job or a job from it. And I think that put pressure on higher education, say, okay, we have to be paying attention to this, and it ultimately will not be enough for us simply to say, hey, you know, we're the university, you have to believe us. Let's make sure when we're building these things that we're getting the input from the employers out there.
Sean, you have the last word.
Well, the thing that we're seeing now is employers are now coming to us, asking us to create these micro-credentials and badges for specific talent gaps that they have. And that's changed, I think, much more recently. And, you know, they have the same issues that we have. They're trying to find good talent and good people, and they realize that they need to go deeper into that kind of pathway to find good potential employees. So now they're reaching out to us to say, we realize a degree program may be a big commitment for somebody. We need people to be interested in this field to be able to be hired by us. Can we create something to begin to get them into that pathway and move them forward? We're very much interested in maybe funding a badge or helping you develop curriculum to get people started on that career path. And I think that's what's the employers, I think, have come around a lot, saying, is there a way that we can use these to also meet our kind of our skill gap needs as well? And that's been a big change for us here in the last few years.
Well, and with that, we'll wrap up our conversation. As I said, master sculptors, they are literally molding the talent that drives Westchester's growth, and two great individuals to be running those programs at their respective institutions. So thank you to Brian Amkraut from Mercy University and Sean O'Reilly from Pace University for sharing your knowledge with us today. I personally have learned so much and may just sign myself up. I hope there's a badge or certificate with my name on it coming in the mail soon. So thank you both, and thank you for having this conversation with us. It's an important conversation.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, BCW, for hosting us.
Yeah, thank you.
Be sure to check out the BCW Podcast Network's expansive lineup of shows: Leadership Unleashed, Advocacy Unplugged, What's Trending, The Member Spotlight, and Win the Innovation Roundtable. Stay tuned for the next episode of Talent Trailblazers wherever you download your favorite podcasts. The BCW Podcast.